I got it. Perfect. Perfect. Okay, good afternoon, everyone. Welcome. I'm going to record also. Okay. Okay, Shalom Aleichem, welcome. Welcome, everyone, to the afternoon kollel this year. So I landed on Beitza. I know in the Daf Yomi it's coming up. It's when I say coming up, I mean we have some time. But nevertheless, so it's an exciting Masechta. A lot of good topics to come up over the course of the Masechta. It happens also to be a little bit more on the challenging side. So I like that as well. So for a number of reasons, I elected to start Beitza as being our limud for this man. Hopefully over the course of this year, we'll get an appreciation. Some of the ideas that encapsulate the Masechta and that of Yantav in general. And without further ado, let's begin. Let's get underway. Okay, I have a source sheet, and I share a screen. So if you would like to see sources, so you can take a look over here, in which I have hopefully organized together our shiur for today. Okay, we're going to be starting off with the first Mishnah here. So if you want to follow me in the Gemara itself, I mentioned this Baruch Hashem every year that we do this, and you want to see where we are holding in the Gemara, so you could also operate with a standard Gemara. As for those of you who've been with me in the past, you know that typically what we're going to be doing is that we're going to be staying on the Daf. Obviously, there are a number of other sources that go off that take us off the Daf, but I use the Daf really as the backbone of the shear. So if you have a Gemara Beitza on you, why don't you just follow in the Gemara Beitza? You may do so. And we start here from the beginning. Topic today is going to be covering the topics of Tiltul Muksa, Achilas Muksa. You will understand better as we go along. We start with a Mishnah. The first Mishnah in Beitza. Okay, for those of you who know the Masechta, just I guess in terms of, here we go, just blew it up a little bit more. Just in terms of pronunciation. So some say Beitza, some say Be'ah. There is an old minug to describe the Masechta as Be'ah, not as Beitza. Okay, for purposes of extra level of Tznius and Kedusha. Anyway, I'm going to call it Beitza, and hopefully without the intent to offend. Anyway, take a look over here in the first Mishnah in Beitza, where the Mishnah lays out a couple of rules for us. The first halach in the Mishnah, Beitza shenol d'biyantav. So you have a egg which is laid on Yantav. So it's a machlokes between Beisham and Beisola as to whether or not one can eat the egg or one cannot eat the egg. Beisham says you're allowed to eat the egg, and Beisola says you're not allowed to eat the egg that's laid on Yantav. Okay, what will be a big part of the first sugya of the Gemara is going to be a simple question of what is Shitas Beisola? Why are you not allowed to eat the egg? And what is Shitas Beisham? Why are you in fact allowed to eat the egg? So that's going to take up a good part of the discussion of the Gemara, but we're not going to get there yet. We're going to really focus on the Mishnah, and we're going to be focusing on the first Tosfos of the Masechta. The second machlokus in the Mishnah, which we're not going to discuss at all, but just what is the shear? How much do you have to eat of chametz and that of sor in order to be chayv on Pesach? And then finally, the third halacha, shochei chayv opa yamto, b'sham me'omim, we know that there's a mitzvah of Kisur Adam. And if you were to shecht either chayiv of, either wild animal or a bird, I say shechting a behemoth, there's no mitzvah of Kisur Adam. Anyway, so you shecht chayiv of anyantiv. So Beisham is of the position that yachbor bedekar v'yichaseh. So you have to dig up some dirt and cover the blood in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Kisur Adam. Beisil says that if you prepare dirt before Yantav, that's fine. Then you're allowed to shecht a chayin off. If not, they're not allowed to amodim. Shim shacha shiachbor b'dekav yichasem. Sheifer kira muchanhu. And then the mission concludes that, look, they both agree, even though there's a disagreement of where to get the dirt from, or better stated, that they have to have prepared dirt before Yantav, but they both agree that if you end up shechting, so then you're going to dig up dirt and you're going to cover it with the dirt. And Efer Kira Muchanhu. Now, the reason why I quote this end of the Mishnah is because we're going to be coming back to the end of the Mishnah a little bit later on. And that is that if I have ashes from an oven, so that's considered Muchan. Okay. There is much to discuss in just in terms of generalities and introductions, and I don't want to get bogged down in the introductions because, quite frankly, we're going to speak about Muktzah today, so I don't want to get too particularly bogged down in terms of introducing the Masechta and talking about it on a larger scale. I really want to focus on the first Mishnah. But there is one thing I'm going to say by way of introduction, and that is as follows. So the first Mishnah clearly over here is dealing with the issue of Muktzah. So we know that Muktzah, in generally speaking, is legislation that was enacted by the Chachamim so that anyway, but we all have a sense, we all have an idea of Muktzah, and the idea behind Muktzah is that certain things that you're not allowed to move on Shabbos, and over here in Masechta Beis, we're talking about a Yantiv, and the first Mishnah over here deals with an egg laid by a hen. So the Mishnah brings down over here, I'm sorry, and before I get back to the Mishnah, just one other word of introduction, which we're going to keep hitting again and again, especially here in the beginning of Masechta Beis. And that is the machlokes between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda. If you have any familiarity with the Gemara in Shabbos and the Gemara in Beitza, so one of the things which is basic and fundamental is the machlokes between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda in terms of the scope of Muktzah. So the way the Gemara phrases it, so Rabbi Yehuda isle Muktzah, Rabbi Shimon isle Muktzah. Rabbi Yehuda subscribes to the idea of Muktzah, and Rabbi Shimon does not subscribe to the idea of Muktzah. Again, if you have some basic background in terms of Shabbos and Yantif, so you and I know, that it does not mean that unequivocally and from a binary standpoint that Rabbi Yehuda accepts the concept of Muktzah and Rabbi Shimon does not accept the concept of Muktzah, but what we know the case is that it's just that Rabbi Yehuda has a much wider scope of what is included in Muktzah, and Rabbi Shimon, on the other hand, has a much narrower scope in terms of what is to be included in Muktzah. Okay, so I say all that by way of introduction, and now let's begin our shiur for today. The first Mishnah tells us, and the first halach in the first Mishnah tells us, that if I have an egg that's laid on Yantiv, so Beis Shammai says you're allowed to eat the egg, and Beis Hillel says you're not allowed to eat the egg. Now, why not? So that is a long answer to that question, because the Gemara is going to be discussing that extensively on Dav Beis Amud Aleph, Beis Amud Beis, Gimel Amud Aleph, Gimel Amud Beis. The first two blot of the Gemara is going to be asking and answering that question. In the meantime, however, what we're going to be focusing on this afternoon is going to be Tosfos, the first Tosfos in our Masechta. The Im Tomar. Tosfos over here starts off with a very straightforward question, and that is, Amai Lotana Osrin Umatirin. Okay. What the Mishnah is trying to tell us is whether or not the egg which is laid on Yantav by our hen, whether or not one is allowed to eat or one is not allowed to eat it. But the truth of the matter is that what the Mishnah is really speaking to is the idea of Muktzah. Is the egg going to be Muktzah or is it not going to be Muktzah? Muktzah is really a question of Isser V'Heter. The Mishnah, instead of using the language of whether you can eat or whether you cannot eat it, the Mishnah could have just as well used the language of either it's Usser or it's Mutter. And that's exactly Tosus's question. You can see inside. Sorry. There we go. You can see inside Tosfos over here, the Im Tamar Malotana Osrin Umatirin. So why doesn't the Mishnah use the lashon of Visser V'Heter? Why is the Mishnah using the language of Achila? V'chitem Osrin Mashmash Asol Olam. And the Tosfos says, here's an answer I'm going to reject out of hand. If the Mishnah would have said Asr, so then I might have thought that it's Isser La'olam, and that's not true. As we're going to be discussing in our Masechta, one of the big topics that comes up towards the beginning of the Masechta is something called Davar Sheish Lo Matirin. The egg that's laid on Yantiv is only going to be also on Yantiv, and it's not going to be also after Yantiv is over. And Tosfos says, well, maybe if the Mishnah would have used the language of Isser, it might have gave us an erroneous impression that the egg is going to be Usser even after Yantiv is over. But Tosfos says, I'm not buying that. I'm in the common, Eferach Shanola B'Yantiv Usser, Behainu B'Yomo. We're going to see later on that a chick that's laid on Yantiv is going to be Asr, but that's only for the day of Yantiv itself. So you see that we are comfortable using the word Isr and knowing full well that the Isr is only for the day of Yantiv itself and not for afterwards. And on top of that, you have any leftover oil in the menorah, in the Nair. And so Rabbi Yehuda says that it's Aser, meaning that it's Muksa, and therefore it's going to be Aser. And again, Tosfos says, we all know V'hainu Davka Boso Yom. We all know that's just for the balance of Shabbos. After Shabbos is over, so then the Iser of Muksa is going to be lifted. So Tosfos says, everybody knows full well that the Iser of Muksa is only going to be for the balance of Shabbos, the balance of Yontif. So that's not why the Mishnah used the language of Ochel and Los Ochel, because if we would have used the language of Iser, so then people would have walked away with an erroneous impression. Tosfos says it's simply not true. We all know what the word Iser means in the context of Muksa. Iser means only for the remainder of Shabbos and the remainder of Yontif. The Yesh Lamar, the Avitini Osrinu Matirin. So Tosfos offers now the following as a solution. Had the Mishnah used the word Iser V'heter, Hayisi Amr Shemashi Matirin Abeitza, Hainu L'talto. So Tosfos says, well, here's what I would have thought. If the Mishnah would have said Mutter, I would have thought that what the Mishnah meant, that now remember, this is Shitas Beis Shammai, right? If you take a look back at the Mishnah, Beis Shammai says, Tochel Hilo Omim Lo Sochel. And by the way, I missed an opportunity, but I'll just pick it up right now. This is one of those notable places throughout Shas that Beis Shammai comes out to be the Mekel, and Beis Shammai comes out to be the Machmer. Okay, now going back to Tosos, Tosos says that if I would have used the words Iser V'heter, I would have said that when Beis Shammai says Mutter, Hainu L'talta, that only means that I'm allowed to move the egg. Ava b'achila asura. But if we would have said Mutter, I might have thought the Heter is only for movement of the egg, but one's not allowed to eat the egg. Eating the egg, no, that would have been Aser. And Tosos says, now, I'm going to hold off in just a moment because he's quoting a Gemara later on in Beis on Daf Chavdalin, and we're going to see the Gemara together inside. So let's hold off in a moment before we get to see the Gemara in Beis, which is coming up in just a second. So what Tosos over here now is introducing us to is a really interesting idea, and that is that when we are introduced to this idea of Muksa, one could have constructed an argument in your head. And that argument is that if the Mishnah would have used the words Iser V'heter, so we would have said, oh, Mutter? Mutter means you can move it. But Mutter does not necessarily mean you can eat it. And so now what we have done in this Tosfos is clearly created two categories. Category number one is Tilto Muksa. Category number two, Achilas Muksa. And that means to say that just because I can move something on Shabbos or on Yontif doesn't necessarily mean I can eat the item. Okay. And what I want to do now for the next 25 minutes remaining that we have this afternoon is I want to take a look at this idea of Tosfos. That somehow, some way, there is a distinction to be made between the movement of Muksa and the eating of Muksa. So stay tuned now as we build a case that there is such a distinction to be made. And remember now, all this goes all the way back to Tosfos, because Tosfos now suggested that had the Mishnah used the word Iser V'heter, as opposed to what the Mishnah chose to use, which is Achila, Ochel, and Los Ochel, one would have thought erroneously that the egg could be moved, but the egg cannot be eaten. Again, according to Beis Shammai. All right, let's start off together with the Gemara and Beis on Daf Chav Dalet. The Gemara and Beis on Chav Dalet, here I quote it inside. So first, it's a Mishnah on Amud Aleph, Chavdal Amud Aleph. It's Tzudas Chayav Ova Dagim Shasa Meir of Yontif. So let's say I set up traps before Yontif. Lo Yito Mehem Bi Yontif Ela Im Ken Yodeh She Nitzona Meir of Yontif. So in other words, trapping you're not allowed to do on Yontif itself. Okay. One of the topics that we're going to be discussing in Mir Tzashem later this month, we're going to get there actually, because truth of the matter is it already comes up on Daf Gimel. So, right, hopefully we're going to cover it at a pace where we're going to get there in short order. So one of the things that we're going to note is that on Yontif, there's a heter of Ochel Nefesh. So we're allowed to cook on Yontif, and we're allowed to shecht an animal on Yontif. Okay, and in other words, and food preparation is okay on Yontif. Okay, it's mutter on Yontif. But there's a limit to what you can do and what you can't do. And we'll talk more about where that limit is at. Anyway, but trapping is one of the things that we're not allowed to do on Yom Tov. Seida is also on Yom Tov. So the Mishnah later on Daf Chav Dalet talks about if I set up the traps going into Yom Tov, so the so if it captures and it traps the animal before Yom Tov, that's great. If it traps the animal on Yom Tov, well, that's no good. What if I don't know? So Umaisa ben Achri Echashevi Dagon LaRamin Gamliel VaAmar Mutarin Hain. So there was a trap that ended up trapping an animal at one point, sometime between the beginning of Yom Tov and the end of Yom Tov. And here, Rabbi Gamliel was presented with it, and he says, "Be'etzem it's mutter, but you know what? I don't want to take it." Now the Gemara just clarifies. I quoted the beginning of the Gemara. Yeah, the story and the halacha don't seem to match one another. And the Gemara immediately clarifies, Safek Muchan Aser, that according to the Tanakam of the Mishnah, that if it's a Safek, meaning we don't know when the traps capture the animal. Did it trap it before Yom Tov, after Yom Tov? We don't know. We left the traps untrapped, meaning set before Yom Tov. We came back immediately after Yom Tov or shortly after Yom Tov began. Okay, and now we found an animal that was caught in the trap. Did it trap before Yom Tov or after Yom Tov started? We don't know. It's what's called an halacha Safek. So where do we stand on a suffix? So according to the Tanakama, it's even Tanakama's machmir. Remin Gamliel matir, Remin Gamliel says it's mutter. Umay tsanami benachri achashevi dagam Remin Gamliel v'amr mutarin hein, elafishein rasonu lekabal heimena. And it was brought to Remin Gamliel says that it's mutter. In other words, because lishi tasu, he holds that it's mutter. He says, but I don't want to take it from you. Okay, good. So that's the Mishnah with the clarification of the Gemara. Now watch this. And this is what Tosos on our Tosos on Hamad Beis is referring to. The Amar Mutarin Hain, and he says that it's Mutar Mutarin Lamai. And now, what does that mean, Mutar? Regarding what is a Mutar? Rav Amar Mutarin Lekabel. Vilev Amar Mutarin Beachila. So here we have a Machlokis Amarayim between Rav and Levi. Rav says that you can accept it from the guy. And Levi's of the position that you can even go so far as to eat it. Wait one second. Levi says you can go so far as to eat it. Well, then what's Rav saying? So clearly what Rav is saying is that it's not muksa, meaning you can take it from the guy, but you can't eat it. Well, wait one second. If it's not muksa, so why can't you eat it? Okay, so here we are now. Another piece of really strong evidence that something on Shabbos, or in this case, on Yom Tov. So it could not be muksa, and yet one would be prohibited from eating it. Okay. So here now we've made this split between muksa latalto versus muksa lachila. You're allowed to take it from the guy, but according to Rav, you're not allowed to eat it. Okay, let's do this again. Let's take a look now at the Gemara Shabbos, kuf chav ches and Shabbos, itmar. So we did this not so long ago in the Daf. But from a daf standpoint now, this feels like a long time ago. So basam aliyach matula talta b'Shabbos. So if we have salted meat, so you're allowed to move it on Shabbos, meaning it's not muksa. Basar tafel. But what if the meat is unsalted? So unsalted meat, Rav Huna amar mutula taltalo. So Rav Huna says that it's not muksa. Rav Chista amar aser l'taltalo. And Rav Chista is of the position that it is muksa and you can't move it. Rav Huna amar mutula taltalo. So the Gemara says, now Shitas Rav Huna, where you can move it. The Gemara says, what? You're allowed to move it. I don't understand. Rav Huna, Talmud of Rav Hava. The Gemara says, let's go over the Masorah. Rav Huna was a Talmud of Rav. The Rav, ki Rebbe Yehuda Sirlei. And we also know that Rav subscribes to Rebbe Yehuda. The Islei Muksa, where he subscribes to the concept of Muksa. Okay, now let me try to organize this well. I said briefly in the introduction to our shir today, it's one of the most basic points that we need to know regarding muksa, machlokas between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda. Again, to reiterate, Rabbi Shimon leisle muksa, and Rabbi Yehuda isle muksa. Okay, one of the more fundamental machloksim that occur here in our Masechta and Beitza, and also came up in Shabbos numerous times, this being one of them. So, the Gemara now notes that machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, and as I mentioned in the introduction this afternoon, so it just simply means that Rabbi Yehuda has a wider scope of muksa, and Rabbi Shimon has a much narrower scope of muksa. With that stated, So where do the Amoraim stand on this issue of Rabbi Shimon versus Rabbi Yehuda? So the Gemara notes over here that we have a Masorah. We know that Rav subscribes to the viewpoint of Rabbi Yehuda. Is lay muksa. So that means to say that Rav subscribes to a wider span of muksa. Now, with that stated, so now the Gemara is bothered because we know that Rav Huna is a Talmud of Rav. And we assume now that if Rav subscribes to Shitas Rav Yehuda, so Rav Huna also subscribes to Shitas Rav Yehuda. So I have my unsalted meat on Shabbos. So what am I going to do with it? Is it muksa or is it not muksa? So Rav Huna comes up now with what seems to be a curious psak. Rav Huna is of the position that one is allowed to be metaltel, this unsalted meat. Now, unsalted meat going into Shabbos, it's not cooked, it's not salted, l'chora, it's muksa. And he says, mutal l'taltel, you're allowed to be metaltel it? So the Gemara says, I don't understand. Rav Huna is a Talmud of Rav. Rav Paskin's like Rav Yehuda. What kind of psak are we looking at over here? So, says the Gemara, here we go. So the Gemara says, b'muksa l'achila, savor like Rav Yehuda. The muksa l'taltel, savor like Rabbi Shimon. So the Gemara says it, and the truth of the matter is that as much I'm saying this as like this is such a profound point, it's such a wild chiddush. The truth of the matter is, it's the Gemara in Shabbos. The Gemara in Shabbos says it so clearly. If we're talking about muksa vis-a-vis achila, meaning achilas muksa, so there Rav holds like Rabbi Huda, who has a wider scope of muksa. But when it comes to muksa latiltol, when it comes to muksa just in terms of carrying it and moving it, so there, something like Rabbi Shimon, he has a much smaller scope of muksa. And so what we see over here in the Gemara and Shabbos, super clear, is this idea that vis-a-vis muksa, we can break down muksa into two categories. Muksa vis-a-vis just simply moving the muksa, or we could talk about muksa in terms of achilas muksa, in terms of the consumption of muksa. And you can be a mako when it comes to tilto muksa, but at the very same time, you could be a machmir as it comes to achilas muksa. Do we have such a position? The Gemara says, sure. We just saw it together. Shabbos, daf kuf chav ches, Rav Huna. So he's a mekel when it comes to muksa, l'tiltol, but he's a machmir when it comes to tiltol in terms of achila.
By the way, do we actually hold that?
Well, the halacha we're going to get to a little bit later. Okay, we're going to come around to the halacha. So, what we have over here now clearly is, so let's start with our Tosfos. Our Tosfos is bothered by the lashon of the Mishnah Beitza. The Mishnah Beitza says that when you have an egg which is laid on Yontif. So Beit Shammai says tocha beisol omrim lo tocha. Tosfos's question over there is why use the language of tochel and lo sochel? Use the language of Beit Shammai omrim mutter and beisol says usser. And now we really appreciate Tosfos's answer. Because if the language of the Mishnah would have been Isser, if Beit Shammai would have said Mutter, and Beit Hillel would have said Usser, here's what I would have thought. Even within Shitas Beit Shammai that says Mutter, Mutter only means I can move it. But Beit Shammai is saying much more than that. Beit Shammai says, not only can you move it, you can eat it. And now Tosfos says, had the Mishnah said the word Mutter for Beit Hillel, sorry. Had the Mishnah said the word Mutter for Beit Shammai, so I literally... And could have made a really strong argument that mutter only means mutter l'taltel. Yeah, you can move the egg, but that doesn't mean you can eat it. And now we saw it together, Gemara Beitza Chav Dalet. We saw Gemara Shabbos Kuf Chav Ches, where clearly there is a clear distinction to be drawn between tilto muksa and achilas muksa. By the way, the Rashi, the next Mara Makom, I have it down over here. Rashi says it as clearly as we said it. Okay. With that stated, let's go weiter. We've got a couple more really interesting Mara Makomos on this topic. Number one, another Gemara in Beitza. This Gemara in Beitza is on Daf Ches. It's coming up later in the Masechta, still in the first parak. The Gemara over there is bothered by the end of the Mishnah. The end of the Mishnah, Ifra Kira Mandikar Shmei. Right? You looked at it, you saw our Mishnah over here. So the Mishnah covered topics which seem to have no connection one to another. Right, three topics in total. Topic number one, the egg that's laid on Yontif. Topic number two, the eating of Chametz on Pesach. And topic number three, having to do with what happens when you want to shecht chayav ha'of. There's a mitzvah of Kisur Adam. Does the dirt have to be prepared before Yantav? Beis Shammai says no. Beis Hillel says yes. And then the end of the Mishnah talks about the ashes of an oven. The ashes of an oven are muchan. How did that come up as part of the discussion? That's the Gemara's question. So you see the Gemara inside. We're seeing the Gemara together. So Efer Kira Man Dikar Shemei, who's talking about the Efer Kira. How did that become part of the discussion in the Mishnah? Who mentioned it? Amar Rabba Hachi Kamar. So Rabba says, okay, this is now going to be Pshat in the Mishnah. The Efer Kira Muchan Hu. In other words, we're looking now for the mitzvah of Kisrei Adam. So if I had prepared dirt going into great. So you use your prepared dirt. What if I had ashes of the oven? That's the point of the Mishnah. The Efer Kira Muchan Hu. If I have ashes of an oven, that's considered Muchan. I'm Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. And so on this, we have the following. A halacha that's said over by Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Lo Shanu Ala Shu Husak Me'er Rav Yantav. That's only talking about where the oven was heated up on Erev Yantav. Ava Husak Be Yantav. Aser. But if it was heated up on Yantav itself, those ashes are going to be Aser. V'imrei L'tfos Bo Beitza Mutter. If the ashes are still hot, so then it's going to be mutter. Okay, so a halacha that's sent over b'shem Rav, and that is, not all ashes are the same. Some ashes are muksa, and some ashes are not muksa. Notably, if it was husak mer of yantav, so then those ashes are fine. Because in other words, those cool ashes were already prepared before yantav. However, if the ashes were created on yantav itself, in other words, again, on yantav you're allowed to cook, so you're allowed to grill. So back in the good old days, you took a log, right? You set fire to it on Yantiv, and now, good. So now you have the fuel for whatever you want to cook. Now what happens is that the log is going to get reduced to ashes. So the Gemara says in Beitza Daf Ches, once the log is now reduced to ashes, so now what you have is muksa. However, if the ashes are still hot, so then the ashes are not going to be muksa. Okay, now, on this Tosos, really, really important Tosos over there on the Gemara. I quote the Tosos over here in the Marmakomas. Near the Hachiyochasa, the Hamaisi Laisiata Mebraisa. So Tosos' first point is that we do Paskin that way. The Braisa, which I didn't quote, supports the Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Vo de Lekem on the Palik, the Afila Rabbi Shimon Mo, the Dai, the Husak, the Yamtov, the Having Nola Gamor. And Tosos says nobody argues on this, meaning, that when I take a log, a piece of wood, and I reduce it to ashes, so there it's going to be muksa according to everybody, even Shita's Rabbi Shimon. Now follow. Rabbi Shimon has a narrow scope of muksa, as we already pointed out. But Tosos says, in his narrow scope, this is included. Why? Because Tosos describes this here. I'm going to highlight over here. Tosos describes it as nola gamor. This is mamish nola. It's super nola. The mikari etzim v'ashta efer, because it was wood, now it's ashes. This is a new entity. Havi kamaya be'iva mivla bli. For those of you who are following here, keeping up in the daf, we did this not so long ago in the daf yomi regarding rain that is coming out of the clouds. It's super nolad. The mode Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon agrees in such a circumstance that it's subject to muksa. Okay, so Tosaf says wonderful. So now we just established that. When I have logs and I reduce it to ashes on Yantav itself, so now this is nolad, and not just any kind of nolad, but super nolad, right? A term which I invented, and it just simply means that even Rabbi Shimon would agree that it's going to be aser v'im tamar. So Tosa says, if that's true, va'anu heich anu misalkin efer akira b'yamtav la'afos ha'pashida afagav shein ra letalz bo beitza. So Tosfos says, okay, so I want to ask everyone now a simple question, says Tosfos. Ashes that were created on Yantav, so they are now muksa, according to everybody. So I want to know that if you, let's say, already use a grill once on Yantav, and you want to use it again, and the ashes on the bottom now are cooled down, and what I want to do is I want to move the ashes to the side, because now I want to reuse the grill. How am I moving the ashes over to the side? And Tosa says we wanna bake the pashtida. Okay, the pashtida was some form of kreplach that was very popular back in the day, right? You're gonna, if you did a word search on pashtida throughout Tosa, it's gonna come up numerous times. Okay, anyway, the kreplach of the Rishonim. And Alpha Gavshein, Rala Salzba Beitza. And Tosos wants to now know, I want to move the ashes to the side because I want to now use this oven in order to bake my pashtida. But how am I moving my ashes to the side? The ashes are muksa. Tosos over here says, V'omer harav rabinu yishak, de muksa einu osa latalta biyantav bishvil ochel nefesh, v'stimchas yantav. So here is an idea that comes up three times in Masechta Beitza, which is, and this is said by the Ri, and he says that when it comes to muksa, eino asur latalta b'yantav, you're allowed to move muksa on yantav for the purposes of ochel nefesh and simchas yantav. Okay. Tremendous chiddush by Tosos, and that is that for moving muksa on yantav, if your goal is ochel nefesh, if your goal is simchas yantav, that you're allowed to do. And he says, and Araya, based on a Gemara coming up later in the Masechta on Daf Chavches. Okay, good. So this is a tremendous chiddush by Tosfos, that tiltul muksa is going to be acceptable on Yantav if it is if what we're gaining from that is Ochel Nefesh and Simchas Yantav. I got to cook my pashtida. I got to cook my kreplach. So what I'm allowed to do, says Tosfos, is I'm allowed to move the ashes to the side. The ashes are muksa, according to everybody. It's nolad, it's super nolad. So nevertheless, you're allowed to move it to the side for Simchas Yantav purposes. That is Tosos in the Gemara Beis on Daf Ches, and Tosos says it two more times later in the Masechta. Okay, so with that stated, so let's take a look now at a couple of things. Okay, I apologize, by the way. I thought I was going to be able to finish. I'm not going to be able to finish. Let's at least start off this discussion. Okay, we're going to start with a Mishnah in Beitza. Okay, our Masechta. And it's later, the Mishnah comes up later in the first parak. So Habarakin is Beyantov. So let's say you want to do Brera on your kidneys. So you got beans, and there are little pebbles in the beans, and I want to go ahead and take the pebbles and separate them from the beans on Yantav. Now on Shabbos, that's called Bora, that's called Aser. Can I do it on Yantav? So it's a Mishnah in Beitza. Beishame Omrim Bora Ochel Ve'Ochel. So Beisham is of the position that, yeah, what you can do is you can sort out the beans, and then you can go ahead and you can eat the beans. Ubeisila omrim baron kedarko, becheko, bekanon, ubetamchui, avalo betavla, avalo benapa, avalo bekavra, and Rabbi Gamliel omer, af mediach beshole. So without going into shitas, Rabbi Gamliel, so Beisila's position is, yeah, baron kedarko, you're allowed to do baron yantif. Okay, you can do it in your lap. You can do it on a plate. You can't do a batavla. You can't do a benapa. You can't use a sieve or a sieve. But you could do borer on yantiv, which basically means you can take out the little pebbles. You can take out the little stones. Okay, that shita of basil, which we're gonna again hopefully get into later in the Masechta. So really now, Rabbi Kiva Eger on the Mishnah, right? The Mefarshia Mishnah. So there are a number of classic Mefarshei Mishnah. One of them is Rabbi Kiva Eger. So Rabbi Kiva Eger on that Mishnah notes that there's a Chiddush and then there's a hidden Chiddush in that Mishnah. So the Chiddush of the Mishnah is that Beisila says that Bor is allowed on Yantiv. Okay, that's a Chiddush. On Shabbos, obviously, it's one of the 39 Melachos. You're not allowed to do it. And Beisila says that you're allowed to do it on Yantiv itself. Good. That's one Chiddush. But Tosus Rabbi Kiva Eger points out, but there's also a hidden Chiddush in that Mishnah as well. Here I quote Tosus Rabbi Kiva Eger on the Mishnah. So he writes on the Mishnah. So Baruch Yedarka lecharekashe echuta lever apsolz mitoch ochel. Habipsolz habimuksa. Ve'ena rashalat altalo. So Tosus says, Rabbi Kiva Eger says, you know, it's interesting. So what are we doing with our beans on Yantiv? So you have these little pebbles in the beans and you are now picking up the little pebbles and throwing them aside. In other words, you're doing borer. Now, aside from the borer aspect of it, there's also a muksa aspect to it. Those little pebbles are obviously muksa. How am I on Yantav allowed to pick up the pebbles and throw them aside? Aren't those pebbles muksa? What are you going to tell me? That, oh, what we're taking out of the beans are little, smaller beans that are edible by animals. Rabbi Kiva Eger says, I'm not buying that. So He quotes that the we're talking about the psalos over there are something which is inedible. So basically, we're talking about little pebbles. How are you taking it out? And he writes over here. Here's the hidden chiddush of the Mishnah. Umikan near Lanias Daiti Raya Lamashikas of Tosos the Mesech and Daf Ches Amad Aleph Devar Maskol Amr of Yehuda Demutal Asalek Afilu Efer Kira Hamukso Bishula Afos Pashtida. And Tosos says, what do you see in this Mishnah? Tosos on Daf Ches was right. Tosos is right that I'm allowed to be Metalta Muksa for the purposes of
Simchas Nefesh.
And Ochel Nefesh. It mamish is a raya to Tosos. The tilto muksa l'sarach Ochel Nefesh, mutter b'yamtav. Oh, it's beautiful. It's fantastic. That tilto muksa is allowed. Tilto muksa is allowed on yamtav if the purposes are Ochel Nefesh and Simchas Yamtav. Obviously, I want to eat those beans. And I got those little pebbles in the beans. So what am I allowed to do? You're allowed to take the little pebbles and take them out of the beans. Isn't it moksa? Yes, it's moksa. So what? Tosos in Beis Daf Chesam and Aleph says that what you're allowed to do is that you're allowed to be metal to moksa for the purposes of Ochel Nefesh and for Simchas Yantav. Okay. All right. Let's quickly organize. Let's recap because we're gonna have to come back. We're gonna pick it up next week right where we left off over here because we have ways to go. And Rabbi Brandt, I'm going to come back and answer your question in terms of halacha. And we're going to see, because if you can take a look at the very next source, it's going to be the Shulchan Aruch and the Magen Avraham. And we're going to see together. But in the meantime, however, let's quickly organize, recap our information, and we'll continue this. We'll do a part two next week. So far what we have in front of us is the following. We saw the Mishnah in Beitza. The Mishnah in Beitza, the opening Mishnah, Masechta Beitza, said that when an egg is laid on Yantav, so Beis Shammai says you're lati, and Beis Hillel says you're not lati. The reasons why? So that's the Gemara Sugya, which we're going to get to in Mirza Hashem. In the meantime, however, what we discussed over here today is the first Tosos on the Masechta. Tosos says the language of Ochel, Los Ochel, use the language of Osrin or Matirin. And Tosos says, I'll tell you why the Mishnah elected not to use that language. Because if the Mishnah would have said that according to Beis Shammai, Mutter, I would have thought that Mutter means Mutter Latalto. But you can't eat it. Avachila asura. That's why I would have suggested, and that's why Beis Shammai has to be abundantly clear that when he says that it's mutter afila ba'achila, and that's why Beis Shammai says ochel. Okay, I keep saying Beis Hillel, right? Here Beis Shammai is a meikel. So Beis Shammai says ochel. So that's Tosfos. So Tosfos now is predicated on an unbelievable assumption: is that just because something is mutter l'talto on Shabbos or on Yantav does not necessarily mean that's mutter ba'achila. That is, that's Tosfos' assumption on our first Tosfos in the Masechta. So far this afternoon, what do we see? So we saw a number of supports for this idea. One, we saw the Gemara in Beis HaChavdalin, where the Gemara over there says that Rambam Gamliel allows to take an animal that was trapped, and it's a suffix. We don't know if it was trapped before Yantiv or on Yantiv. So Rambam Gamliel says that it's suffix muchan and it's mutter. What does mutter mean? So we saw the Gemara in Beis that says, according to Rav, mutter means mutter l'kabel. It just means that you could take the animal from the guy, but you can't eat it. Now, Levi says you're allowed to eat it, but Rav says you're not allowed to eat it. Well, I don't understand. Is it muksa or is it not muksa? The answer is right, correct. Meaning, in terms of tiltal, you're allowed to take it. In terms of achila, you're going to have to wait till after Yantav. Okay, good. That's one Gemara. We saw a second Gemara, the Gemara Shabbos, Daf Kuf Chav Ches, where the Gemara over there says that if I have unsalted meat going into Shabbos, so Rav Huna says, it's mutter l'talta, you're allowed to take it. Mutter l'talta, what does that mean? Isn't Rav Huna paskin like his Rebbe Rav, who paskins in terms like Rav Yehuda, Islay Muksa, and the Gemara's language over there, unbelievably striking. The Gemara there says, b'muksa l'achila, sav like Rav Yehuda, b'muksa l'talta, sav like Rebbe Shimon. Yeah, Rav paskins like Rav Yehuda, but that's only when it's muksa l'achila. If it's muksa l'talto, so then he's going to hold like Rabbi Shimon. Okay, so there, Gemara says beferish, this distinction of tilto versus achila. And then Where are we right now? So we're right now in the middle of Tosos and Daf Ches. Because Tosos and Daf Ches says that when it comes to Simchas Yontif, and when it comes to Ochel Nefesh, you're allowed to move Muksa. He says you have to say that. Otherwise, what are we doing over here? We have an oven. We want to sweep away the ashes on the bottom. The ashes on the bottom are for sure Muksa. How are you sweeping away the ashes? So he quotes B'Shem Dri, that the reason why is because it's only Toto Muksa, which for Simchas Yontif and for Ochel Nefesh and for Simchas Yontif, you'll have to sweep away the ashes on the bottom, because Tilta would be okay. And on this Tosfos, we saw an unbelievable Raya presented by Rabbi Kiva Eger in his on his parish on the Mishnah, where there the Mishnah later in our parak, in our first parak of Besa, says that one is allowed to separate the small little pebbles away from the beans on Yontif, meaning borer according to Beisil is mutter, and you can take the beans and take them away, take the little pebbles and move them away. Either those pebbles, aren't they muksa? And Rabbi Kiva Eger says, yeah, they're muksa. But again, now this fits in beautifully to what Tosu says, that when I have, when it's a question of Ochel Nefesh and Simchas Yontif, so you're allowed to move muksa. Okay.
So why do we say that Mukta is Mudaf Ochel Nefesh in that case, but not by Kisui?
Okay. So, good. So let's hold off, because right now there's still more to go in this distinction between Tiltul Muksa and Achilas Muksa. So we still have more to go. And the truth of the matter is that, and I know I'm teasing for next week, but okay, it's part of my job. And what we really haven't uncovered is a fundamental difference, meaning why is there a difference between Tiltul Muksa and Achilas Muksa? Why is it that we're more prepared to be more makel when it comes to Tiltul Muksa as opposed to Achilas Muksa, where it's seemingly, hopefully constructed, a really good argument that for Achilas Muksa, we're going to be more machmir. What is that going to be predicated on? So the Iker Hasvara, so we've yet to uncover it. So please come back next week, where we're going to finish off this first sugya of the Gemara in Beitza and really speak to an idea of fundamental difference between Toto Muksa, Achilas Muksa. Okay, Adkan.
Thank you.
Okay, very well good. Done, everyone.
Thank you.
Hey, Jonathan.
Hey.
You're looking good. Hope you're feeling okay.
You
Baruch Hashem.
What do you know? Art gallery there.
Oh, behind me?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's from Israel. It's the Kotel on the left, and it's like a woven one, and on the right is a painting with the frame and the Kinneret all meet.
Okay.
My library.